There are only two ways to live your life, says Albert Einstein. One is as though nothing is a miracle. The other is as though everything is a miracle. This week marks the 100th anniversary of one of Albert Einstein's most important experiments. On May 29th, 1919, there was a solar eclipse. During the totality, a scientific expedition tested and affirmed Einstein's theory of general relativity, demonstrating that light rays bend in reaction to gravitational force. The experiment required incredible technical expertise to compare the set position of stars as measured in the night sky to those same stars visible during totality. And it proved that their position shifted when their light had to pass through the sun's gravitational field. Before that day, it was believed that light rays were not affected by gravity. But this experiment affirmed the opposite. Einstein challenged our concept of time as a linear sequence of events. He demonstrated through another experiment with high-speed jets and atomic clocks that time and space function in relationship to one another. Time is experienced differently by objects in motion than by those which are standing still. Reality is merely an illusion, says Einstein, albeit a very persistent one. His brilliant insights were a product of his imagination as much as they were a product of his studies. The world as we have created, he said, is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. By intentionally changing his thinking, this wild-haired man changed our collective understanding of time itself, at least for some of us. I do not have a solid understanding of the physics of all of this. Every so often, I can catch on to the concept for a little while, and then it slips away from me, and I return to feeling lost about how it all makes sense. That feeling exists in other contexts, too. One of our religious education classes last year was learning about Fibonacci numbers and how commonly Fibonacci patterns appear in nature, in the petals of flowers, in the tines of a pine cone, spirals and balance, order in the midst of nature's incredible diversity, a flow and rhythm to it all, usually just out of view, but sometimes showing itself as if we need occasional reassurance to keep going. And we do, right? Which makes me think about church. Why has it been so important that you have each decided to be a part of this community of people? Why do we mark this annual bridging when we are a part of this particular configuration at this particular moment in time-space? Believing as we do, affecting and being affected by one another, every moment that has brought us to this place, which will never happen again exactly in the same way. Tomorrow, we will be a different configuration. I want to invite you all to think about some way, it can be tiny, that you are different, changed, that your thinking has altered because of your participation in this community. I'm going to ask you to do something that some of you are going to hate. I want you to think about that, and in a minute I'm going to ask you to tell the person next to you really quickly what that thing is. So when you're ready, and you thought of something that's changed you here, I want you to share that, and I'm going to wait about 30 seconds, and then I'm going to hit the chime so that the other person can share with you what they've thought of. okay. Thank you. I find myself often considering the ways by which we learn to think about things and by which we learn to think about things differently. I wonder about how to think differently about things that have planted themselves in our minds as certitudes, whether or not they are actually anything close to correct. Einstein asks us, if we think of time as constant, as a linear, one thing after another thing, what do we limit ourselves from imagining? What becomes possible when we think of it differently? I wonder how we can apply that same question to other things. How do we determine the value of things? How do we make decisions? How do we decide what to do with our days? What do we expect of ourselves and of others? And why? What is the right way? Who matters? It has become appallingly obvious that our technology has exceeded our humanity, wrote Einstein. Maybe through our commitment to this larger community, to the hard work of listening to one another, of caring for one another, and sharing ourselves with one another, we create a space where we can imagine a new way, and we can catch glimpses of the order underlying this complicated world. Each year we watch after another graduating class of South Church youth step out into their next chapters of their lives with the experiences and connections that they've gathered here, along with all of the other pieces that have come together to form who they are in this very moment. Every year, I wonder what communities they will find beyond South Church that will challenge them to keep changing and growing. I wonder how well we have helped them do that work up to this point. I wonder what configuration our community will be the next time they return, and how we will each change the time-space in front of us. Einstein again. A human being is a part of the whole, called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. Humans experience themselves, their thoughts and feelings, as something separated from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from this prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature in its beauty. May it be so.